translation than Prabhupada by Sri Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktisvami Prabhupada. It was he only who withdrew the duration of life from everyone and who in the battlefield withdrew the speculative power and the strength of enthusiasm from the great military phalanx made by the Kauravas, headed by Bhishma, Karna, Drona, Salya. Their arrangement was expert and more than adequate, but he, Lord Sri Krishna, while going forward, did all this. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The Absolute Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, expands himself by his planetary Paramatma portion in everyone's heart, and thus he directs everyone in the matter of recollection, forgetfulness and knowledge, and the absence of intelligence and the psychological activities. As the Supreme Lord, he can increase or decrease the duration of life of a living being. Thus the Lord conducted the battle of Kurukshetra according to his own plan. He wanted that the battle to establish Yudhishthir as the emperor of this planet, and to facilitate this transcendental business, he killed all who were on the opposite party by his omnipotent will. The other party was equipped with all military strength, supported by big generals like Bhishma, Drona and Salya, and it would have been physically impossible for Arjuna to win the battle had the Lord not helped him by every kind of tactic. Such tactics are generally followed by every statesman, even in modern welfare, but they are all done materially by power, full encompasses military tactics and diplomatic maneuvers. But because Arjuna was the Lord's affectionate devotee, the Lord did all this himself without personal anxiety by Arjuna. That is the way of devotion service to the Lord. Narayam namaskrityam naram cheva narottamam devim sarasvasim dasam tato jayet mudirayet nasto presu bhadresu nityam bhagavati sevayam bhagavitu tumas loke bhakti bhavati nastaki krishna svadam pagate dharma gyanate besaha Kalo naste disam eshe purnanako danu dita. Just a few more points on that. So so Srimad Bhagavatam is the highest literature. It gives the highest vision of what it means to connect to Krishna. And in his Gaudiya Kantara, Nectarian Vaishnava verses, he gives a little aberration on some points on Srimad Bhagavatam, the importance behind it. So he says, different quotes from the Srimad Bhagavatam, I think Chaitanya Charitamrita. Ateva Bhagavata Sutra and Atta Rupa Ajna Krita Sritra Nija Pasha Sarupa. Srimad Bhagavatam gives the actual meaning of Vadan Sutra. The author of the Vadan Sutra is Vedavyas, Vyasadeva, and he has explained their meaning in Srimad Bhagavatam. Ateva Bhagavat Kata Vichara Yaha Pabha Sutra Sutra Atta Sara. Study Srimad Bhagavatam meticulously, then you will understand the actual meaning of Vedanta Sutra. So, yeah. Bhagavatam, essence of all scriptures. Sarva Vedashananam Sarva Sarva Samudhajam. The essence of all Vedic literature, the Vedas, Puranas, Itihasas, has been collected in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay. Whoever disregards Srimad Bhagavatam and really relies on Sankaracharya's commentary is lost. This is the point given in this one, in the CC Madhya 25.145. Jivaya naste lagi sutra kaile vyasa maya vadi basa sunyahe savanasa. Vyasadeva presented the way literatures for the deliverance of the conditioned souls, but when he is commenting on Sankaracharya, everything is spoiled. The Bhagavatam reveals the inner meaning of the Vedanta. Sarva Vedanta sarva hi sri Bhagavat ihasa tad rasyam septa manasa sad isya kvachit. Srimad Bhagavatam is accepted as the essence of all Vedic literature and Vedic Vedanta philosophy. Whoever tastes the nectar and mellow of Srimad Bhagavatam is never attracted to any other literature. And the last one is Sapta Prasada Bhakti Bhagavat Iha Pramata Bhagavat Charita Iha Chai Veda Bhagavati Niha Sakaske Prakasita. Srimad Bhagavatam speaks of the highest goal of life, devotional service, divine love of Krishna. According to the Vedas, Srimad Bhagavatam is the very form of divine love. The four Vedas are like yogurt, but Srimad Bhagavatam is like butter. The churning of this butter is Sukadeva Goswami, and the eater of this butter is Pariksit Maharaj. And the last one is giving the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Krishna Turiya Bhagavat Vibhu Sarvasa Pati Soka Pati Akse Mana Atakaya. Srimad Bhagavatam is as great as Krishna Himself, the Supreme Lord, and the shelter of everything. In each and every verse and symbol of Srimad Bhagavatam, there are multiple factated meanings, for it is infinite as Krishna. This is from Chaitanya Sabhita 24, Madhya 24, 3:18. And there's one more which gives explains how there's four things manifest in this world directly, which are Krishna Himself. So this gives Bhagavad Tulsi Ganga Bhaktaya Chandusha Vikra Krishna He Cha Sana. Srimad Bhagavatam, Tulsi Devi, the Ganges, and the devotees, wherever these four things are found, Krishna is always present. This is from Mandalita 22:81. Yeah, four things. Yeah. Read them again, huh? Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam, Tulsi Devi, the Ganges, and the devotees, wherever these four things are found, Krishna is always present. So I was reading in this is when Narada Muni, he visits the 16,000 palaces of Krishna's queens, and when Narada Muni is going to different palaces, and I think one of the Vishnachakya Thakur comments, or Sridhar Swami comments, that only Narada Muni could have that vision of going into different palaces. The residents of Dwarka couldn't have that vision. It's like when Krishna came out of the palace, at some point he would merge, all the other Krishnas would merge into the one Krishna. The residents of Dwarka could not have that vision. They couldn't have that vision of the 16,000 palaces manifested. They couldn't have the full vision of what the Leela was happening with Krishna. Krishna only gave that vision to certain devotees. So, the point was given that, showing that all the avatars of Krishna, they're not complete as Krishna. In terms of Krishna's manifesting his full pastimes, in his full variety of him being the original personality of Godhead. So, and the other side of it is also there, like it's explained that when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita on the battle of Kurukshetra, that was considered the Vasudev form of Krishna. So Prabhupada explained in Bhagavad Gita purport, I think in one of the purports, he says how Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, he's always there, and killing the demons is done by Vishnu form, expansion of Vasudev. And Prabhupada says, interesting enough, he says in this purport so the expansion of Krishna is like, first expansion is Lord Balaram. So the Vasudev is expansion of Lord Balaram. So we can see how, and the other aspect is, this is given in the 10th canto, part 4, how it's showing how Krishna is very intimate with his devotees. This is concerning the pastime of Rukmini, how Rukmini wanted to marry to Shishupal, but at that time Krishna was in Vrindavan and he didn't have any, he didn't want to leave Vrindavan. But then this letter came from Rukmini, and Krishna consulted with Nanda Maharaj and what to do in this situation. But then Krishna made a conclusion that because she's surrendered to me, and if I don't go and save her, she's going to give up her life. I have to go and save her. So, and the point given in this situation is that Krishna is there to help anyone who fully surrenders to him, like that. So, that's the point given. And also, some other point was given how, because Vasudev and Devaki, they wouldn't allow Krishna to go to Vrindavan, because they knew that if he goes to Vrindavan, he won't come back to Dwarka. The Yadus wouldn't allow Krishna to go to Vrindavan. So then, after Krishna, he killed some demons, I think, Vidunath and Dantabhakra. They were the ones, last ones he killed. And before that, he, who made that plane? There was a Sabara plane which was made. There was one. Salva, yeah, he's the one. So he got that plane made, and after Krishna killed him, he got the message from Narada Muni, Dantavakra and Vidunath are there in Mathura. This was straight after Krishna killed Salva. He went there to Mathura to kill them. And then after that, Krishna went to Vrindavan. And then he could see the resident of Vrindavan at that time. And it's explained in the 10th canto of chapter 4th part how Krishna created he got a chariot, he put all of them on that chariot and he took them all back to Goloka Vrindavan. So then he goes further to explain how the unmanifested form of Krishna stayed in Vrindavan to do his leela. The other one went to Dwarka to carry on with his leela. So this is given the property, the Absolute Personality of God, Lord Sri Krishna expands himself by his prana, but pranama imparts everyone's heart. But for a devotee, it's not paramatma. For a devotee, it's directly Krishna. And there was one instance, Srila Prabhupada had a picture of the paramatma over where he was sitting, just above. And someone asked Srila Prabhupada, is that the form you meditate on? Prabhupada said, no, I meditate on a two-handed form of Krishna. And then, in that verse, 9:29 Bhagavad Gita, Samaham Sarvabhuteshu Namas Tvestestriya Priyajya Te Pajantamam Chapisam Apiham. I envy no one, I'm equal to everyone, but whoever surrenders to me, he's in me and I'm in him. So in that verse, he's explained, for a devotee is Krishna directly, it's not the Paramatma. Vishnu Chaketa is commenting like that. So the same thing, it is Krishna's facilitating the Pandavas to win the Battle of Kurukshetra. So, while he's going forward, he reduced the life of all his warriors. And Krishna also facilitated some demons being killed by intervening to save Arjuna. Like Jayadrath, Krishna intervened to save Arjuna's life. Because Jayadrath was one who instigated the killing of Arjuna's son, right? Abhimanyu. And he prayed to Lord Shiva to kill the Pandavas, but Lord Shiva said, you can't kill the Pandavas because Lord Krishna is protecting them, but I'll give you a boon that you can create a Chaturvyuha to bewilder the Pandavas. So that's what he did. But then Arjuna took a vow when he found out that his son is going to be killed. He died. He took a vow to kill Jayadrath. Then the Kauravas, they put Jayadrath right at the back of the army so that Arjuna could not reach that part before sunset, because Arjuna took a vow that if I can't kill you before sunset, I'm going to intend fire. So he was getting, the time wasn't there in time to kill Jayadrath. Time was running out. So Krishna told Arjuna that I'm going to cover the sun and you just aim at Jayadrath. And Krishna told him, with one arrow you cut his head off, with the other arrow you take his head to the Himalayas where his father is meditating. Because he had a vow that anyone's head, if anyone cut, drops, then that person's head would also crack. He had that kind of vow, to some benediction he had. So Krishna covered the sun and then Arjuna aimed the arrow and That's what he did. He shot with one and his head came off. Other one, his father was meditating, doing yoga, meditation, Himalayas, and the head came on his father's lap. He dropped the head and he died. So that shows how Krishna intervened to protect Arjun from being killed by Jayadrath. And also with Karna, it happened like this is Mahabharata is given how Satyaki asked Krishna, because Karna had his weapon called given by Indra, the dart weapon. And his weapon was meant to kill Arjun. So Satyaki asked Krishna, how come they didn't use that weapon immediately to kill Arjun? They could have used it immediately. So Krishna explained that every night they were discussing how to use that weapon. They were discussing Karna how he should use that weapon the next day. But when that time came, Krishna, he didn't allow them to remember how to use the weapon. Well, he made them forget to use the weapon. So in this way, Krishna, and then when Gaudakach was killing the Kaurava armies in big numbers, at that time, Duryodhan told Karna to use that dart weapon to kill Gaudakach. So it so happened how, because Krishna used Gaudakach because he killed a big amount of Kaurava armies, you know, like he expanded himself. When Gaudakach died, Yudhishthira wasn't happy, you know. But Krishna was happy. So Yudhishthira asked Krishna, why, how is it that he died like that? You know, he did a lot for us. He took us to the Himalayas, you know, see the places of the demigods, so many things. He helped us in many ways. Krishna said, well, I used him to actually kill the Kauravas, but actually I would have killed him a long time back. Because he had no respect for Brahmanas. So like this we can see how Krishna has his respect for Brahmanas. And same with Pundrak and this king of Kashi, right? He had a son, the king of Kashi had a son, and his son did some kind of pray to Lord Shiva so he can revenge against Krishna. And so Lord Shiva, knowing his intention, told him, you do this sacrifice and a demon will come out of the fire, some kind of being will come out of the fire with red eyes and copper beard and everything, and he'll fulfill your task. But Lord Shiva warned him, don't do anything against those who are favoring the Brahmanas. But he didn't have intelligence to see like that. And he went against Krishna. He asked his demon to go against, this fire demon to go against Krishna. And actually this demon got purified actually when he saw Sudarshan Chakra. When Sudarshan Chakra came, he offered his obeisance. He said, what should I do? You know, I've been sent here. So Sudarshan Chakra said, you go and burn out that Kashi Raj's son and the priests who have done this sacrifice. Jai Shishi Radha Gokulam Ki Jai. You go and burn them out, finish them off. So we can see in this way how Krishna protected the devotees. Krishna is known as Bhakta Vatsalya. He's the love of his devotees. And so we can see even in the present time, the same thing is happening. How Krishna is protecting the devotees. This Krishna consciousness movement is part of the community of devotees, you know. They're pushing on this mission to help others become devotees. And those who are against helping that mission to help increase Krishna's family as devotees, and those who will go against that, they'll be removed. We've seen that in the history of ISKCON in the past, of those who try to oppose the mission of Srila Prabhupada, who try to cause difficulty, they were removed. So we should have a reassurance that we should have faith that if we carry on with this process which Srila Prabhupada has given us, which is to help others go back to Godhead, and that we'll be protected. Krishna will protect us. Protection doesn't just mean physical protection. Sometimes it could happen. Someone may think physical protection. It means spiritual protection. Ultimately, Krishna decides what's best. If he feels that a particular devotee has enough time, he's done his time in the material world, he can take him back anyhow he likes. Whether he's through some disease or some accident, that devotee is fixed. Doesn't matter how he leaves his body. But it's given in the Surrender Unto Me, chapter 8. It says that those people who do their karma and jnana yoga, they have in the path of karma and yoga, they do it very strongly. But if they deny who Krishna is, then all that austerity they have done will just go to nil. So we should have faith that Krishna is there. He's there to protect us. He's there to look after us. Ultimately, without Krishna's sanction, nothing can happen. Even Krishna is looking after the non-devotees. But the only thing is, they deny who Krishna is. So they're going through their karma. They're just suffering their karma, whatever they're going through. But for a devotee, his karma is finished as soon as he surrenders to Krishna. Krishna wipes out all his bad karma. Pious karma gets wiped out, and that devotee, he goes back to Krishna after he leaves his body. So we can see how in the example, like as long as we hold on to our material attachments in this world, that more difficult it will be to turn towards Krishna. And the example can be given of the gopis of Vrindavan. They were very simple hearted. They had no complications. They were very simple hearted. And so Vrindadevi appeared to them and told them, "You did this 1 month vrat, and you see Krishna in 1 month." So they followed the instructions. But Draupadi, she had, when Dushasana was pulling the sari, she turned to Bhishma Dev, the Pandavas, Kripacharya, Dronacharya. Finally, at some point, she was trying to hold on to one hand and save herself, putting one hand in the air. When she put both hands, then Krishna came and saved her. So, from that example, we can learn is the more we hold on to the material attachments, the more difficult it is to turn towards Krishna. So, Prabhupada said in one of his quotes, he said, if you read my books 1 or 2 hours every day, then renunciation will come into you. So this means seeing through the eyes of scriptures, then we get renunciation. And that's also supported in Bhagavad Gita, 4th chapter, where Krishna says, any sacrifice done with knowledge will gain its fruits, will gain proper fruits in terms of connection with Krishna will be strong. Whereas if one does sacrifice without knowledge, then the fruits may not come. It'll be for material purpose. So Krishna also supports that in chapter 7, where he says that someone who's cultivating knowledge out of the four who surrender to Krishna, the one in knowledge is more dear to Krishna than the other ones. Because the understanding is, the other ones, they will go away in time, once their material needs are fulfilled. The distress, the one in inquisitive, but the one in knowledge will stay because he's coming for the proper reason, to approach Krishna for the right reason. So, there was a interesting story with, I heard a Prabhupada lecture this morning, 5:20. Prabhupada was saying in this lecture how Krishna actually protected the Pandavas in a very maneuvering way, like he gave the example how Duryodhana was telling Bhishma Dev that you're not fighting to your full capacity because you have affection for the Pandavas. But Bhishma Dev told, just to prove to Duryodhana that actually you can't win, he said, okay, I'm going to get these 5 arrows and I'm going to kill the Pandavas tomorrow. So Krishna told Arjuna, because the story goes how Arjuna was sleeping properly, but Krishna could not sleep that night. And Krishna went and told Arjuna, at some point Duryodhana gave you a benediction. So now you take that benediction. So Prabhupada explained further in this lecture how the culture was such in India that even if an enemy came to the house, he wouldn't be treated as an enemy. He'll be treated properly, with respect. It's just when the foreigners came into India, they actually messed everything up. But the culture was such that they would respect everyone according to their spiritual advancement. So Arjun went to Duryodhana and he said, Duryodhana said, anything you want. So Arjuna said, I give you a kingdom, I give you your kingdom back, wherever you want. Arjuna said, no, I just want those 5 arrows. And Duryodhana gave it. So like that, Prabhupada is showing how the culture was such that honesty was there in terms of dealings. Any comments or questions? This is given in that, I read it in the 10th canto, chapter 4th volume. Prabhupada mentions it like, it's mentioned like that. I thought the Leela happened in Dwarka, yeah, but maybe at that time, Krishna was also consulting with Nanda Maharaj, you know, because many things that would happen, he would consult Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yasoda on certain things. Because he had affection for the Vrindavan Vasis very deeply. And Krishna also consulted them what he should do. But then Krishna also made his own decision after consulting them. This I read in the 10th canto of Chama, 4th volume of the Srimad Bhagavatam.
This, that he gave away the 5 arrows, obviously, to keep his word. So it's sometimes like acting very, very dharmically, and then on the other hand, like, you know, creating a house for the Pandavas, you know, for the, to burn them alive kind of thing. It's like, sometimes people are like, it just seems a bit, you know, like on one hand you're like so strict to like, okay, follow your word. And on the other hand, you're just willing to do like the most adharmic thing.
Yeah, so Krishna was very tricky like that, isn't it? Like he would... He says that the Pandavas broke more rules of dharma to win the battle of Kurukshetra than what they did. But this was for a higher purpose, to establish religious principles for the benefit of the world.
It's a dharma, religious principles. How can it be a dharma?
No, but they did many things like the instance of getting the 5 arrows back. At some point, I think, in the battle of Kurukshetra, it happened how when Pandavas were in Virat, they understood, Duryodhana understood that Pandavas were there, and he went with Karna and a few others, and he stole the cows from Virat, King Virat. And at that time, they were incognito, so they weren't really displaying the hood. They had to go 1 year incognito. Otherwise, if they were caught, then they would have to repeat the 12 years. So at that time, this King Virat's son, Arjun was a eunuch, I think, at that time. And Arjun told him, "You go, and I'll back you up. I'll be the chariot driver." But when he saw the Kauravas coming, he panicked. And Arjun said, "Don't panic, I'm behind you." And then Arjun got his weapons, where he hid him in a tree, and he went and he took all their clothes off, the Kauravas' clothes, made them all naked, just to make them realize, you know, what their standing is, what position they're in. They have no chance of winning the battle. But even then, Duryodhana didn't get the message. So this just showed the point that Arjuna was trying to show the point to them that you're not going to win the battle because your position is, you have no chance because Krishna's on our side. And the other thing is, he took all their clothes away, the opulent clothes, and took them back to the kingdom. Just to humiliate them very badly, he did that. I mean, the Kshatriya principle is, if you're going to fight a Kshatriya, he says humiliation is worse than death for a Kshatriya, you know. So this was worse than death for them. Ideally, Arjuna should have just killed them, but he didn't do that. Just he humiliated them very badly, he did that. But still they didn't get the message.
Situation. I think like when Duryodhana built the house of Shalak, he wasn't under any obligations or any kind of, because he was his own rogue But when he kind of entered the battlefield, then there's certain rules that apply when you kind of, Veda explains, just like we see even in the modern kind of warfare, the Geneva Convention is called, I think, that when you take prisoners, you're not allowed to kind of abuse them or whatever. So even though there's a war going on, then there's some kind of rules you have to follow. So in that situation, I think Duryodhana was obliged to follow the rules to give the arrows.
I have a question about, you said that when devotee comes to the process, Krishna destroys all his karma?
Yeah.
So I just wanted to understand which point actually the karma is destroyed, because Shivaran Swami in one of his lectures said that actually when we come to the Brahma Bhuta level, then actually the karma is destroyed.
Yeah. So the thing is, from Krishna's point of view, he's just seeing how much you're surrendered to him. That's how Krishna sees it. Whatever purification you have to go through, you have to go through that. But if you're just surrendered to Krishna, then he takes full responsibility of you. Like I said, this example of those who do karma yoga and jnana yoga, but if they deny who Krishna is, then all the austerity goes to nil. On the other hand, if a sincere person is coming forward and he's surrendering to Krishna, then Krishna takes full responsibility of him. Example is given of Chandamuli Maharaj, I think in his prison preaching programs, there was one instance where one lady, I think some mother or something, happened in India with the family. She got put in prison. And she was very depressed. So, you know, we do the prison preaching. So one Mataji, she went and told her, you chant 16 rounds. So she started chanting 16 rounds. Then she told her next instruction she gave, just like Krishna was born in a prison, but he took everyone out of prison, so you pray to Krishna to take you out of the prison. So she prayed like that. Then she left her body. So Krishna is fully independent. He knows best for every individual person. Maybe in that situation, for that lady to come out, be part of that family, would have been very difficult. Maybe they would have told her not to practice Krishna consciousness. Okay.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your class. You were talking about expansions of Lord Krishna in the beginning, Vasudev, and how Krishna doesn't leave Vrindavan. And we learnt the other day, potentially, that Balaram, his real name is Ram, also, or original, potentially. But I was also considering that when Krishna comes down, he comes down from his original Krishna in Vrindavan, comes down as... You know, original Krishna's there in Vrindavan, in the material world also. But the other incarnations are incarnations of Lord Balaram. My question is that when Lord Ram descends, and Lakshman also, which expansion are they? Because... we're told that Lord Ram is Krishna and Lord Lakshman is Balaram, or things like this.
It's like the candle, isn't it? Deprachi, Nirantar, Brahma Samhita, the verse is there. From one candle, many candles come. It's like that. It's just Krishna in his original form. He displays full potency of who he is as the Supreme Lord. Whereas in the other avatars, he doesn't display that potency. Isn't it? Like in Lord Ram's Leela, after Sita was banished, he created many golden Sitas to do the yajna because he was a king. The holy golden seaters approached Lord Ram one day and said, look, you have to marry us now. You created us. So he told them, when I appear in the future, I'll marry you. So all the golden seaters became gopis in Krishna's pastimes. Say, Antara Chimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai.